Welcome to the David McQueen Show, a weekly podcast where through insights and interviews, I explore what good leadership looks like for businesses and non-profit organizations. My main aim is to keep the podcast long enough to cover the subject, but short enough to create interest. So sit back and enjoy this episode of the David McQueen Show. You can't lead without trust. That's right, you cannot lead other people in your organization or even in your personal life without an element of trust. And that's going to be the focus of today's podcast. I want to talk about the importance of trust in building teams, in making sure people recognize you as the leader that you are supposed to be. First of all, I want to talk about some myths. I want to knock out a couple of myths around trust. And here are some that I've heard. It takes a long time to build trust. No, it doesn't. Sometimes you can actually go and connect with people straight away. You might be working in a small team on a small project. You might be in a position of leadership just for an interim period. And you just don't have the time to be able to think about, right, I've got a long time to build up trust. You can actually build trust quite quickly. I realize this as a speaker. Oftentimes when I walk into a room, I've only got about an hour, 90 minutes to be able to connect with people. I do certain things to build trust in that space with time. And likewise, when people are building and working with teams, it is very possible to build rapport and trust straight away. Some of that will come from the credibility that you have as an individual. Other times it will be around just around your behavior. But building trust is not always a slow build, so I disagree with that straight away. A second one that I think is that, or a second myth I'd like to take out of the equation right now, is that trust is all or nothing. Either you totally trust somebody or you don't trust them at all. Again, I think that's a big myth. As humans, we are going to be able to trust people with certain things. In a specific role working for an organization, you may be able to trust a leader or somebody in a position of power for some things. That doesn't necessarily mean that you trust them with their life or anything else. It doesn't have to be all or nothing. Sometimes the things that we trust people with will vary. So trying to just position it as an all or nothing thing is inaccurate and essentially is a myth. A third one is that trust can never be restored if it's broken. There are lots of people who think that once you've broken that trust, it can never be restored again. If you're like me, you would have had relationships and friendships where people have done things and they have betrayed your trust, or some of the assumptions that you may have built up against or some of the assumptions that you may have built as a result of that relationship might have been broken. Say, for example, you may assume or work with people and think that they may never lie to you, or that they will always accept you for who they are, or they will always speak their mind. And just because we have put that assumption on someone else doesn't necessarily mean that's what their expectation of the relationship is, and it doesn't necessarily mean that we're right. So just because we assume or we have specific assumptions around it, it doesn't necessarily mean that if that trust is broken and somebody has lied to us or they have not necessarily spoken their mind, it doesn't necessarily mean that trust can't be restored. And of course, there are ways of rebuilding that trust, which I will talk about a bit later. And the last one is just assuming that distrust and trust are opposite ends of the spectrum. In fact, the opposite of trust is control, not distrust. But I will talk about that at a later time. So let's have a real good think as to why trust is a real core important of leadership. If you're going to take people on a journey, if you create a vision about where it is you want to take your organization, be it a business, be it a non-profit center, whatever it is that you're working with, if people are going to follow you on that journey, they have to at least have a sense of trust in what it is that you're going to do. Often they may not spell out exactly what that trust looks like, but it's important for you to know that those things are there. And part of that is an internal conversation that we have. So first and foremost, if we want other people to trust us, we need to trust ourselves. I spoke in an earlier podcast about imposter syndrome, where many individuals will be placed into a position of power and of leadership, and they may be questioning their authority because they don't have all the answers, or they're comparing themselves to someone else. And so they stand in a position thinking, well, you know what, I'm not good enough for this, and why am I here? And I feel like a bit of an imposter. And part and parcel of being able to tackle that imposter syndrome is being able to trust yourself, knowing that you may make mistakes, knowing that you don't have all the answers, but trust yourself enough that if somebody has invested in you to be able to do something, and you believe that they are competent and that they have promoted you rightly, obviously you've accepted the post, then, you know, you're good enough. And if you want people to be able to trust you, you have to learn how to trust yourself. That means working on your own self-confidence. That means working on your own self-esteem. That means reminding yourself of your own credibility. So those are the things that I wanted to talk about first. We tackle some of the myths, understanding that as a leader, you've also got to be able to trust your own self as well. Now, I'm a trained counselor, and being given a number of tools to be able to do this job and do it effectively. I don't practice as a counselor anymore, but I do use it as part of my leadership development, whether I am training people to speak or whether I am coaching executives on how to be the best leader. I use some of those tools from counseling. And one of the things I realized that was critical and integral to my role as a counselor was being able to keep people's trust. My wife makes a joke that, you know, if I was to pass away and somehow somebody was able to take all the memories out of my head, a bit like what they've done with Harry and Harry Potter, for those of you who are familiar with the film, there's so many things that would be stuck in my head and so many secrets that I would take to my grave without telling anybody. And I pride myself on that. If people do tell me things in confidence, and as long as it's not harming them or as long as they're not harming any other people, I always keep it in confidence. I tell that to young people who I've mentored. I tell that to adults in business who I've mentored. Anything you tell me, I will keep in confidence just as long as it doesn't harm you or as long as it doesn't harm anyone else. I think it's important because you don't really build a good relationship and good rapport with individuals unless you have built up that sense of trust. And one of those things that really stood out for me in counseling was how much of counseling revolves around listening. Coaching can be a bit more interactive in that we ask, you know, a heck of a lot of questions and we're moving towards a directive. But in counseling, there was something about just being able to sit down and listen to what the other person was saying. And in many ways, you know, again, as I said, it doesn't take long to build up that trust. I can sit down with you for 10 to 15, 20 minutes and listen to what you have to say. And because I'm actually being very present and listening to what you say, I build up that trust with you. So let's break down as a leader, or for those of you who are looking to or are listening into this and thinking about how can you trust those who are in positions of leadership over you, here are a couple of things that I think make for a good relationship of trust. And in terms of building trust, whether you are building trust with the person who is a leader for you or if you're a leader yourself, being able to define the trust of those who are reporting into you. One of the first things I think is... my wife tells me to stop saying this. Madeline says, stop saying this. So instead of saying, I think, I'm going to say, I know. I'm putting my vulnerability out here in the podcast. I'm not going to say, I think. So one of the first parts of building trust is around values. Being really clear about what your values are. I do this fantastic exercise with companies when I go to speak, and especially when I'm talking about value-based leadership, I ask them to write down on a piece of paper three values that their organization holds very dear. And then I ask them to write down three values that they hold very dear and see if there is a matchup between the ones that they hold dear and the organizations that they work for. And I think I mentioned it in one of the first podcasts that I do, that often it's very interesting to see that there are so many people who can't get a matchup between what their personal values are and their organizational values. And obviously, if you can't, then there's always going to be a point of conflict. But if you are a leader and individuals can see really clear values, what it is that you stand for, that is about building trust. So for example, honesty. There are individuals who may not necessarily like the way you say stuff. They may not like the fact that you are very direct and you say it as you see it. But honesty as a value, especially in a leader, is going to be very important. Aligned to that as well, another value would be integrity. If you are a person of integrity and you say what it is that you're going to do, then that's a great way of being able to build trust with individuals because they know that you're not just talking about the values, but you're actually living it as well. There was a friend of mine who said one of his values is around certainty. He wants to know exactly what it is he's going to get from a leader. When somebody is working with him, he wants to know exactly where it is that they stand. And for him, once he knows that, he doesn't necessarily have to like the person or agree with the principles, what they have per se, but if he knows exactly where he stands with them and there's a certain degree of certainty around their competency, what it is that they do, what it is that they say, and the values that they hold very dear. That is an immediate way of being able to build trust. So one of the ways of being able to build trust is to be very clear about what your values are, whether you explicitly put it down as a list so people can see, or people just are able to recognize it by your behavior. They know that you're honest, they know that you've got integrity, and they're very certain about where you stand. And yes, you can add a long list of other values there, but that's a starting point. The second way of building trust is around credibility. And if you are in a position of leadership, people want to know that you have got there based on your competency. I have worked in a number of organizations as an employee, and I've worked also as a speaker and a coach and a trainer, and know that there are individuals who have not had trust or faith in those in positions of leadership because they don't think they're credible. Credibility can come from a number of areas. It can come from results, an individual seeing that you have worked in a specific technical area or an area of competence, and they've seen that you've been able to perform well under pressure, or you've been able to relate to other members of staff. And as a result, they will see that based on your track record, based on your skills, your talent, your knowledge, that you are a credible person. And therefore, you didn't just get it just because somebody felt that, oh my God, you know, I know them, or nepotism. And by all means, these things do actually happen where somebody can be promoted to a position of leadership just because they're a friend of somebody who's already in existing power. That can be a problem, but generally, if somebody has been employed or promoted into a position of leadership based on on the results that they have had, that is about building trust. It's also about intent and your competency. If somebody sees that you're not very good at the work that you do, you don't dot your I's or cross your T's, you're not very good at engaging with systems, processes, and people, then it's going to be very difficult for you as an individual to be able to build that trust with those who are supposed to report to you under your leadership. A third way of building trust is about being supportive. And I think this is one of the core elements of leadership. I know this is one of the core elements of leadership that a lot of individuals do struggle with, that they believe that people should respect them regardless of the fact that they haven't been able to evidence it and that they haven't shown respect back to those individuals. But for me, there is something about being supportive where you show care, where you can be empathetic to the needs of the individuals who do report into you. And you can also encourage personal growth, whether that's being a mentor, a support, a coach, or whatever area of the business it is that you will help that person to develop on. It might be their own personal development and training. How do you encourage and support that person to be the best person that they can be and can be a high performer as a result of your good leadership? The fourth one is follow through. Do what you say. I do a small exercise again as a speaker called people listen more to what, demonstrating people listening more to what you do than what you say. And there is something about making sure that you have got follow through. If you ask people for deadlines and they do it within a specific deadline, be able to respect that. I was recently talking to one of my mentees, and she was having a bit of a struggle with one of her managers because there is something that she was being told that it's a highly respected member of the team and they really love her contribution and she wants her to manage her time well. But what she found was happening quite a lot was that the manager would wait until the last minute at the end of the day to try and throw a bit of work on her and say, this is the stuff that we need to do, and doing it at the last minute just because the manager hadn't managed her time well. And so my mentee got really frustrated about that. And I said to her, one of the things that's important is for you, you have to challenge her on that, not in a disrespectful way, but challenge her to say, look, I have got my own personal time. I've worked my specific hours and, you know, I'm about to leave now. I also recommended that she goes and talk to a superior to find out how the land lay. Like if, for example, if she was going to be able to do the hours, was it fine? She did that. And so, you know, if there was an issue, she was in a position of strength because she had a conversation with the senior leader about how her hours should be managed. And the problem that was arising with the leader or the manager who was controlling her or who was supervising her at that point in time is that she wasn't consistent in what she said around being able to manage time. And that definitely would affect the kind of trust and relationship that she would have had with my mentee. So being able to follow through is also incredibly important. A fifth one is consistency. This is one of the toughest areas of being in a position of leadership, is making sure that you're consistent, not only in the way that you perceive it, but in the way that others around you perceive it as well. So for example, if you have issues of conflict and people can see that in an issue of conflict that you will take one side more than another, regardless of what the facts are there, because emotionally you will be drawn into arguing with one person rather than the other, that can have an incredible impact on whether or not people will trust you and whether they will believe in your leadership. Yes, they may turn up and do things that you say, but if you don't have consistency, there will not be that element of trust. Even saying things like thank you, acknowledging work that has been done. And let's be honest, you know, you're not going into work all the time to get people to say thank you to you. You know, that's what you're getting your salary for and that's what's expected of you. But when people are consistent and they are saying to you that they are going to tell you thank you or appreciate you as a member of staff, and they're going to treat you fairly, when you see that's done consistently, then that engenders a real sense of trust between you and the people you are leading, or if you're being led, between you and your leader. The, where am I now? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Modeling behavior. If you are going to be in a position of leadership, you have to be able to model the behavior that you expect of your staff. So that will be around the values that you hold that we spoke about at the beginning. It might be around being able to respect other people's voices, being on time, managing other people's time effectively. And it really is a reflection of your character, because regardless of who you're managing, if you are able to model the behavior that you want your followers or your reports to look up to and respect, if you don't do it, then obviously it's going to be very difficult for you to go back and try and build that trust afterwards. Your character is something that people will judge you by on a conscious or subconscious level. And yes, we'll all have faults and yes, we'll all have flaws, but it's so important to model that behavior. One of my favorite words in the dictionary is discipline. And the root of discipline is disciple. Or dicere, the Latin word dicere, is for discipline and for disciple, and both of those mean to lead by example. So for example, as a parent, I know that if I want my children to model the behavior in the way that they deal with conflict or deal with other individuals, I have to lead by example. Sometimes I'll mess up, but generally speaking, it's about leading by example. In the same way in the workplace, if you want to be able to have your staff and the individuals who you work with to really respect the kind of leadership you have, you've got to be able to model that behavior in as many situations as you can. And when you do mess up, being able to apologize, being able to fess up, being able to say that you did it wrong. There's nothing wrong with doing that. It's not a sign of weakness, rather it's a sign of strength. And it definitely engenders trust in those who are going to follow you. And the last one is about accountability, which leads back into this whole thing about model behavior. When we recognize that there are going to be times where we do get things wrong, but also just making sure that we stay accountable so people will keep us and hold us accountable for the things that we say that is we're going to do. If we're going to take people on a vision and on a journey and we're intending to hit targets and we're intending to do things for our stakeholders as leaders, it's important that we stay accountable, whether it's to a senior leadership team around us as our direct reports or whether it's individuals who report into us. We have a sense of accountability and transparency so that there can be an element of trust in what we do. So the last bit I want to talk about on this podcast is about this restoration of trust, because I spoke slightly earlier about the myth around, you know, trust can't be broken. Yes, it's good to know that you can't lead without trust. We've tackled some of the myths. We've talked about building it, but sometimes trust can be broken. And I want to leave you with four key points that I think are quite essential to being able to build back trust. One of them comes back to that, the points I made about consistency and modeling behavior. You've got to live your word. If you've made a mistake, it may take a little bit of time for that trust to be rebuilt. It's not going to get, for many people, it's not going to be built straight away. But live your word. Do what you say that you're going to do. If you've messed up, you make a conscious effort as a leader to get back to that space where you restore people's trust in you, because you are now recognizing that you've done something wrong, but you are living your word and trying to do it again. Trying to be better again so that you can be more consistent as a leader. The second one, I think, is to just learn about what actually made people distrust you. Because sometimes people can fall out of favor. And one of the reasons they have fallen out of favor is because they have lost a bit of trust in us, and we've got no idea why. We have no understanding why this person all of a sudden may have switched, may have changed, and may not be reacting in a certain way. And as a leader, there's a responsibility to have that frank conversation, that honest conversation with that individual or those individuals, to find out exactly what it is they're thinking and what's the key element about their lack of trust in us. And in that situation, it's very good to listen, because it's very easy to have people ask people for their opinions. They give you their opinions, and then it's very easy to be very snappy and judgmental or reactive to the fact that people are being very honest. It's a hard thing to do. And if somebody's going to tell you about yourself or something that you've done wrong, it's very hard to be able to sit down there and listen to that. But even as a leader, it's important to hear those points of view, because if you want to be able to engender that trust, you have to know what it is that started or sparked that distrust in the first place. Third one to rebuild trust is to improve communications. Listen more. Don't make those assumptions. Challenge assumptions that you may have internally, or even the individuals who are around you, challenge those ones and ask better questions so that you can improve the communications between yourselves and your reports. That way you are very clear about why you think that if trust has been broken, you can work together in order to be able to restore that trust. And the last one is about just getting clarity on the needs of the individuals that you work with. If you have clarity on their specific needs, what it is that they want, where it is that they want to go, what their expectations are of you, and how they align with the actual organization you work with, then you can move forward. If you don't know the needs of the individuals that you're responding to, you will always make an assumption, you'll always get it wrong, and it'll be very, very difficult to have that sense of trust. So I hope those points have helped. Trust is a very big thing. It's incredible for our personal relationships as well as the relationships that we have professionally as well. And I believe as leaders that we need to think about this more. Spend a lot of time thinking about the impact of having really good relationships with the people that we work with in order to be able to get the job done. Doesn't necessarily have to be on this personal level where we are talking about things outside of work, but within the workplace, just making sure that those communication channels are open and clear, so that with trust, we are able to be in a position where we are managing high-performing teams who are going to be incredibly productive, but also they're not going to be hindered just because they don't trust you or trust each other in the team. So thank you for listening to this week's episode, and I hope it has been helpful. I hope it in some way has been able to encourage you to understand the elements that are needed to build trust between yourselves as leaders, or if you're an individual listening and you have a leader that you're reporting to, being able to build that trust with them. So whatever platform you have, it's SoundCloud or iTunes, whatever, please go ahead and share this podcast or comment and rate it. I am really able to reach as many people as possible through this podcast, and I really love it. Look, I get to speak around the world. Yesterday I was speaking for a major international bank, and I was able to speak to over 2,700 people as a result of a fantastic technology. But I also realize that there are a lot of people who I won't get the opportunity to speak to, and this is one of the reasons why I use the platform of podcasting to try and reach as many people as I can with thoughts and ideas and insights around leadership. So I appreciate both your time to listen and the fact that you do share the content over the various platforms, be it Facebook or Twitter or LinkedIn. I'm really glad that you're able to give me the feedback by emails as well. So please continue to do that. Please share the David McQueen Show with as many people as you can. I really, really would appreciate that. And I look forward to having you tune in to the next episode of the David McQueen Show. Until then, take care and look forward to having you tune in again. All the best.